I'll be talking about some of the recent work in the wheat group trying to improve simulation of canopy temperature, which of course primarily of interest as a driver of heat stress. And I want to mention that Heidi Weber's actually been coordinating the simulation runs. I helped her in preparing one set of data, the China wheat data, and Bruce Kimball helped out on the face data. But Heidi's really been the driver on this. Well, I did the most recent analyses we'll show. And of course, we're interested in canopy temperature in this case because it's a important predictor of heat stress. And I guess for me, this was a bit different perspective. I've always been interested in modeling canopy temperature just to improve overall simulations. And there's this question of complex models versus simple models. But in this particular case, the real interest was predicting the midday high temperatures, because we know that with higher temperatures you get a reduction in grain number, a reduction in yield, and of course drivers in this are water stress particularly, and soil types can affect as well. So of course with this, that irrigation can moderate heat stress, and I see Matt Reynolds in the back, and selection for low canopy temperature is thought to be a good way to increase yield potential and in some situations provide drought stress. So, your general model for canopy temperature in a crop model usually starts with some sort of an energy balance where you've got the air temperature, an effect of radiating heating, and evaporative cooling. And the real problem is in dealing, I guess, with these canopy resistances and aerodynamic resistances, which unfortunately are become functions of each other. They're very nonlinear, and you can't find an analytic solution, so it has to be an iterative solution. So approaches people have tried, one is empirical, I guess essentially in a regression approach. Second is an energy balance with neutral stability, and the third is the energy balance with stability corrections. Yes, sir. There are more seats up front, so be bashful. So some initial work was published in a paper in Field Crops Research with Heidi as the lead author, but it showed there's clearly a need to improve our modeling of canopy temperature, and particularly a test in a broader set of conditions. And that's, I guess, when Bruce and I got involved with the FACE study at Maricopa. So this was 4 years of data, two atmospheric CO2 concentrations, ambient and elevated, and 2 years with elevated nitrogen, and two years with different irrigation levels, management pretty much the same otherwise, including the same wheat variety, Yacoro Rojo. Then the China wheat study was a quite old experiment. It was reported in 1988. It was 2 years, 5 locations in North America, 2 water regimes, three nitrogen regimes, although we're just looking at the non-limiting nitrogen. And because the data set's 30 years old, and even though Jerry was involved in some of the field work, we don't have all the details worked out. It's a bit of a puzzle. I'll show you the face results. So here's the 4 years. And of course, with temperature, if you just look at raw temperature, everything looks pretty good, but that's because the air temperature is the main driver. And this is for the sort of a summary of all the models involved in the study. If you look at the delta T, the difference between canopy and air temperature, we're picking up some of the variation, but not as much as we might like. And I'll drill down on, am I going the wrong way? I think so, yes. So here's the results for simulated versus measured, the canopy temperature differential for all of the face data together. And you can see some of the models not so good, and some of them doing better. And once again, I've gone the wrong way. So I'm going to recommend staying away from the touchpad. So one way of breaking this down is to do an analysis of variance where we say, well, what is the effect of the model? Are there still essentially residual effects of, say, for the face year, the CO2 treatment, nitrogen and water and the air. And I guess sort of an ideal model, you'd have very low error, and the model would have fully accounted for the effect of year, for the effect of CO2, effects of nitrogen. So what we're seeing is the models are varying in how well they explain the overall variation, and they also differ quite a bit on whether they're accounting for year effects or irrigation effects. I think all but one model, the modelability, you know, was statistically significant. So you could say the R-squared, was significant, but again, a lot of variation. And then the China wheat, a similar pattern. And the one thing that was, the one thing that was clear out of this is the atmospheric stability was very important. So these, this is the residual error in predicting canopy temperature, and the empirical models and the models with the stability correction do considerably better than the model, which just assumes neutral stability. Let's see. And so here, just summarizing this, here's the amount of variation explained by the model versus the amount which could be related directly to the stability. And so the models that are doing the best are essentially accounting for the effect of a bulk atmospheric stability. So this is all really just to set the stage. Whoops, and I've gone the wrong way again. So what can we do beyond using the stability correction? One is to check this assumption that we're using, and because these are historic data, we had to assume that Tmax was equal to the air temperature at the time that canopy temperature was measured. But of course, unfortunately, you know, people go out and measure canopy temperature at different notions of midday. The second is we may have poor simulation of particular processes which are, you know, strongly affect canopy temperature, such as transpiration, growth, and especially leaf area development. Then there's the assumption that we can get by with a model that basically has a daily time step as opposed to running models on an hourly or shorter time step. And then there's some questions there about what we're seeing when we manually measure canopy temperature. So I'm going to go through these fairly quickly. First of all, how good is our assumption that Tmax is equal to TR? Well, it turned out in the phase studies we could get actual air temperatures, and we're seeing a bias of 3 to 10 degrees from the Tmax versus the air temperature. And then, of course, for the delta T, that makes quite a bit of difference as well. You know, we're getting errors of, say, 4 to 5 degrees in the estimate of the delta T. And we can put this into a regression model. So here on this side, over here is using Tmax as our estimate of air temperature, and here's using the reported hourly. As you can see, we're picking up maybe 8%. Of improvement in the parent prediction. So this isn't a question of the models being improved. This is a call for higher quality measured data. And interestingly, I think in this brought down the sums of squares associated. I've lost my mouse. Oh, there it is. This brought down the sums of squares for the year effect. And I should mention this was only with the L5 model, which Heidi Weber is running. If we summarize this over the model, so we see the general trend that if we go with the hourly data, we considerably improve our apparent accuracy of the model, which is good news, but emphasizes the need to have quality data. And the exception, well, no, that's fine. Then looking at the leaf area index, I say unfortunately it's hard to see the original observed data, but Heidi went back and tried to improve the estimation of leaf area index in her model. And again, we see some benefit there. So without calibrating leaf area index, we're at about 35% of the sums of squares. If we add the calibrated leaf area index, we pick up about another 9%. Of the sums of squares. So clearly, you know, the background modeling of growth and development is critical to getting a good estimate of canopy temperature. Does the hourly time step offer us anything? I'm having a lot of trouble with this touchpad. Does the hourly time step offer any improvement? So with hourly, just using Tmax for T-Air versus using hourly data, it looks like the daily model does better with hourly data. The time going to an hourly time step provides a modest improvement. But when we actually compared the two of the daily time step model and the hourly using the hourly data, we see the daily time step model actually performs better. Nonetheless, the hourly time step version of L5, it looks to me like there's a problem essentially of sensitivity of the model. You know, it looks like the real trend maybe is more like this, but some of the outliers are flattening the response. So I suspect there's some issues there where we need to go back and recalibrate the hourly time step model. Because I think Heidi, at this stage, had simply put in an hourly time step and hadn't been able to go back and rework the model. So summary, first of all, the apparent poor explanatory of the models is partially due to this unfortunate assumption that Tmax is equivalent to T-Air at the time of measurement. The China wheat data set, we had no access to better weather data, but accessing the better weather data for FACE is clearly shows that that's improvement. Also then, better simulation of leaf area index or other traits does seem to offer a road for improving simulation of canopy temperature. Not clear yet the benefit of going to hourly weather data to drive the model. I guess I'd say it may lead to improvement, but not clear. Next steps are to understand the difference that we're seeing between the daily and hourly time step versions of L5. I think with that, examine the treatments in greater detail because we have water and nitrogen treatments and CO2 treatments and should help us see what's breaking down. And the other thing I'd like to put out is, you know, the canopy temperature measurements we have were done with handheld IRTs that, you know, hopefully, the intention was at a constant angle, you know, with specific protocol, but it's still very different from what you'd see, say, with a Nader view measure of canopy temperature, and you can get huge gradients in temperature. The upper one is a single row of wheat, 30 centimeters, so it's a bit strange, but you get a hot side of the wheat, and it was east-west rows, so the hot side was south, and the cold side is north, and our models just aren't able to deal with that. Possibly having a multi-source model would allow us to deal, you know, if we have sunlit and shaded leaves and possibly, I guess, what sunlit soils, it may allow us to deal with that. So there's still plenty of room to look forward to improving canopy temperature simulations.
All right. Got about 2 or 3 minutes for questions, so...
Awesome. Yeah.
And the fact that it affects the temperature, wind speed in addition to the wind.
Yeah. But the wind speed's involved in the stability factor as well.
In addition to that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we've looked some at it, and I guess that this goes into the problem with dealing with hourly or daily time step measurements is. Yeah. Excuse me?
The
time measurements we didn't have data for when Tmax was measured. You know, that was just some, I guess for the FACE we could extract it, but for the China wheat, we didn't have any data. It looked like a lot of the canopy temperature measurement in the FACE study was actually done, I'd say, more sort of in the 11 o'clock to noon range. Is that correct, Bruce? Yeah. And of course, our Tmax in Arizona can be quite a bit later than that. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So, Jeff, remote sensed and satellite data measures more easily the canopy temperature than it does the air temperature if we have a met station. So if you think with that kind of availability of data, we'll be able to resolve this one.
So I would, well, it depends on what scale you're on. I'm I've been astounded to see the progress with UAVs. So I think we have the tools with the research scale, yeah, to really improve data. And also, you know, with these older data sets, we weren't logging our weather conditions, you know, on a you know, say 10-second time interval. And I think that's the kind of resolution we need to go to. I was tempted to try and couch this in terms of, are we thinking about the correct temporal and spatial scales when we're working on this? And we're sort of converging from daily time step, you know, whatever unidentified spatial scale models, and trying to converge on something that's going on at second time scales and centimeter spatial scale.
Great, thank you.